Hey everyone, Dark Brew here from thebrewhall.com and The Brew Hall on Twitter, and you are about to listen to part 4 of the Hunting Party Podcast, episode 200, grand finale. This is the final hour of the regular show for the Hunting Party Podcast. There was a 90-minute post-show, and I will be posting that shortly after this, so you'll still have a little more time to hear Frostheim, Arth, Sahara, and the gang talking about hunters and everything else World of Warcraft. But for now, please enjoy the final hour. Stay thirsty, remember to drink your Dark Brew Lager, and thank you for listening and for making this all a wonderful experience. Enjoy.
So, Geth writes, aside from the perceived loss in DPS, why do you think there is such resistance to MM and PvE? I'll tackle this briefly. Right now in PvE, there's a resistance because it's simulating as the lowest of the three specs. But there isn't a historical resistance to it necessarily, except that more hunters like Beastmaster than the other two specs, period. Because a lot of people get into the hunter class because they want to play as... They like the pet aspect of it. So the companion that you have along with you, and as much damage as they do in BM, it feels like the pet plays a bigger role. So a lot of people like BM. So I don't know that there's necessarily a resistance to MM. MM has been the most popular PvE spec in past expansions, so I think the majority of hunters are willing to follow the DPS, whatever spec it's in. So right now, I think it's just that it's testing the lowest. It's becoming more and more popular in PvP right now, because since the last big patch, it's become the best spec for higher-level PvE arena hunters. So I don't know that there's an ingrained resistance to it so much. I think we've just seen that in this expansion, because it's really been a down expansion for MM in Mists of Pandaria. So if you take a long view of it and you look at multiple expansions, you'll see that it isn't really a bias against marksmanship so much as it is just this hasn't been its expansion, really.
Just a comment.
This is Roger's like question to answer, really.
And Zahara, too, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. One thing I've mentioned a couple times before with it is that Marx has a bit of a... It's sort of a spec at odds with itself. And some people like me, I think, really don't like that. I mean, it's got the mastery, which increases based on the number of hits you do, and then it's got, if you're aim shot, you're casting less often, and it's like it can't decide what it wants to be sometimes. And it's also a little bit more fiddly, I think, than the other two specs. There's more planning around it, and some people just kind of want to play. They don't want to be quite as focused on everything that's going on in their spec. So just some thoughts about why some people might not like it as much.
And it's interesting. Right. There's definitely a evolution of favorite specs, you know, where, you know, I still remember when everybody was MM, except for
me.
Stupid gold farmers who were BM.
I was survival always. Remember, you used to get mad at me for it. Well, you didn't get mad at me, but you'd lecture me.
Yeah, it was inappropriate. But no, I mean, like, but back in vanilla, it's like if you raided, well, MM was your only option, and then, you know, BC came out, and it's like, well, if you play a hunter, BM is your only option. And
that was survival back then. That was the exposed weakness, bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, exposed weakness! But the perception of a given spec seems to lag a little bit. Where, like, some people are like, oh, this spec just suddenly changed, and it's great. And it takes a while before there's the perception that that's great. And then, yeah, once a spec is on the outs for, like, a good chunk of an expansion, you know, then just people like, oh, I hate that spec.
Yeah.
And, you know, once people are forced, okay, I say forced, but once a spec is optimal for PvE or something, then people play it because they want to do the best damage, and then they're like, oh, hey, this is fun too. Although I do kind of agree with everything Zahara says about MM. I also don't prefer the feel of MM right now. Although, Roger Brown... is the exact opposite point of view.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think on what you said about how it lags behind until people jump on the train, I think it has to do also with the fact that I've seen a lot, like throughout the whole course of Mists of Pandaria, I've seen so many changes to the MM, how they buff aimed shots, like I don't know how many times in Chimera Shot and all of that. And I think that's the problem, that the other specs, from the get-go, they were the better ones. So when you slowly buff the other spec, people are really hesitant to switch to that when they already know the other specs and they know that they're just as good, if even better. And also that MM, as you said, you kind of have to react to what's happening more than the other specs. For example, Beast Mastery, you have no procs, nothing, just your trinkets. Like all your rotation you can plan ahead, whereas with Marksmanship, you know, you might get an extra a stack of the proc of the aim shot, so you have to react to that. And I think also another problem with MM, what I find annoying is that I'd really wish that the 20 extra energy that BM has would be in the MM spec, because I find myself capping my focus a lot more as MM. Like it's actually kind of tricky sometimes because you get so much focus.
I've always felt that, in general, focus would be more interesting if we did have a little bit higher max, because you could really plan more burst periods around. There'd be a little bit more planning around stuff.
Yeah,
that's true, and that's one of the draws of BM, as because you got that little bit of extra cushion, you know. So historically.
You used to need that extra energy focus. As BM on your opener with your readiness, but now that that's gone, you don't really need it. So I don't know. I would love to see it as a talent, to be honest. On a not a DPS increase tier, but just something you can choose. But yeah, I think MM. I'll call it from now. I think MM will do a huge comeback in Warlords of Draenor. With the level 100 talent that you sacrifice your pet. I'm really excited about it, because you mentioned like in vanilla it was good and everyone was playing it. I think the last time that it was good was at in Cataclysm? In Firelands, yeah.
Like, yeah, that was Firelands, the last time. It was very good, yes.
Yeah, there were periods during Wrath of the Lich King as well that MM was considered the top spec, although I remember at that time like survival was very viable as well.
It was once you got into the armor pen stacking, MM kicked ass.
Right, yeah.
We're
absolutely
going to Booty Bay, just FYI. Let's go.
I was wondering where everybody went. I'm like, I'm all alone.
I looked in game. It's me and Frost and like one other person standing on a hill, and nobody is left in Karanos. So yeah. I guess they did like a battleground or something. And, like, they're having fun. So good for them. That's awesome.
We need a couple of people of a double mount to give a couple of the lobbies rides, if you guys can, and then we'll go up together. Everyone's grouping up. Sorry, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, I was gonna say one thing to add to just to the whole marksman discussion. I think part of the problem too is just the mentality of the players in general, and when they read blocks or they read blogs and hear people like us say, hey. Marksman trails behind the other specs, but even if it's as little as like 1%, that's all they hear is that it's like the third best, and they don't see any point in playing it, and they just gravitate to whatever, the experts say is the top spec, and that's what they choose to play because they think they can do it as good as they can the other specs, and which may not be the case.
I was about to come and be like, well, I don't see really what's wrong with that, and just learn to play the best spec well, and do the best you can do.
Yeah. Yes, we've gone back and forth on this a little bit. That's the one area I think you and I maybe have butted heads over the years. As I say, I don't know that people are capable of playing each spec equally proficient, which isn't to say they shouldn't try, but I think realistically they probably have one or two that they're better at than the others, and if that's the case, they should probably gravitate towards the ones that they do well, because they're going to do better overall.
Yeah, I think we can marry the two pretty easily in saying whatever is going to get you the top DPS, you should be playing. But if a different spec other than what you're used to playing is doing higher DPS, and you're in sort of a competitive guild, you really should be trying to learn those different ones and follow the DPS sort of. But if you're absolutely not able to do the same DPS in one spec as another, you should follow whatever's best for you.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
As I say, the other aspect to it, too, is you have to look at the content that you're doing and how are you geared for that content and so forth. Because, you know, if you're maybe doing flex, but you're in mostly, you know, heroic raiding gear, then, you know, it's probably okay to play whatever spec you want because you out-level and out-gear that content and you're just going to blow through it anyway. It doesn't matter. But, you know.
We have a hilarious comment here in the chat room. It says, I've been having a love-hate affair with female dwarf. I keep simming out to see if I can finally go back to MM, and Zahara keeps smacking me in the face with reality. that's great. Right.
As you mentioned the aspect, I wanted to bring out another subject. What do you guys think about the aspect system? Because I remember back in vanilla, when World PvP was at its prime, I remember, like, you know, killing someone, and then when they would res, I would sneak behind the tree, you know, in Ashen Vale, and hide there and pop my aspect of the beast so they can't track me down and just hide there. But now it just feels like, you know, they just take one aspect after the other out of us, and I'm kind of sad about it.
They're decorative at the moment.
Yeah.
Except for Pack, which is designed to basically piss people off, as far as I can tell. Someone turned it on in the middle of a fight in Avatar the other day. Like, really?
I don't even use it anymore just because I've gotten so much flack for
everyone.
You know,
everyone has their own stories about it. My guild called it the aspect of the get us all fucking killed. That was the in-guild name for aspect of the pack. So, yeah, you didn't use it.
It's so nice that I have an add-on now which tells you which guy is giving you the buffs. So now I can tell, no, it's not me, it's him, the other hunter.
That's right. Especially if you have multiple hunters in the group and one of them has pack, the wrong guy always gets blamed for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to say, aspect of the pack is something I almost, like, that hasn't, there hasn't been a single use for that since Sindragosa.
Well, no, dude, there is a big use for it.
There was like 5 seconds there in Sindragosa where you wanted it, and that was it.
Oh, no, I mean, like, after you wipe, which we do a lot, then you run back faster. That's the use that I found.
It actually worked on Quan, too, because it wouldn't daze people during the tornado phase. You could turn it on to give them
I didn't realize that. I found out that trick where you could, like, go on the sides for the tornadoes and stuff to run back during the final phase. But, like, that's interesting.
Somebody in the chat room has a great one. Aspect of the shark for a swim speed buff. That would be useful.
Definitely.
That would be awesome.
Well, if they took the damage buff off of Aspect of the Hawk and just made it strictly utility aspects, it would be far more useful. The problem is that there's one that gives damage, and so...
Yeah. I had the idea, I don't know if I mentioned it in the previous episode, that just, you know, turn the aspect of the pack into a stampeding roar that the druids have instead. Because now, there's no use for it. And, like, aspect of the hawk is so, like, just remove it or give it something utility, as you say.
Well, I think aspects are probably going to just go away altogether in Warlords of Draenor.
But... Yeah, one of the things so when we did the big Hunter project, and this was a big WHU endeavor where we sort of called together a bunch of opinions from around the community and said, here's what we want for the Hunter class to, you know, try to get Blizzard's attention. One of the things we dealt with was aspects, and we said, hey, we think aspects can be cool, but they need a lot of revamping right now and a lot of additions or changes to make it worthwhile, because aspects as they exist right now are next to worthless. So if you're only going to keep them as they are right now, you might as well just get rid of them and bake aspect of the hawk into other abilities somehow. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of aspects. I like that we had a lot of choice in the past, that we had the resistance aspect for a while. We had aspect
the dodge.
We had the dodge. We had the aspect of the beast for pet tanking and soloing. We had the one... the one here in like Cataclysm for movement, so when we were, you know, so we could cast on the move that they got rid of. Yeah, aspect of the fox.
Don't Don't forget to ask for the Viper. When you go boom, you just pop it.
That's right.
Yeah, aspect of the Viper. So, like, in the past, it's had all these interesting uses, and right now, there really isn't that sort of choice. So if they can get it back to a level where we have meaningful choices, I think aspects are a cool aspect, excuse me, derivative term of the Hunter class that they should keep, but if they don't want to expand them like that, then you might as well get rid of them, because right now, as they exist, they're kind of useless. So I hope they expand on them. I hope we keep aspects, but if they don't want to, I'd rather them get rid of them than keep them as they are right now.
Yeah. Right. Also, another, just to get through this, because I've had a lot of these thoughts lately, like, what do I want in Warlords of Draenor? Because they didn't reveal pretty much anything in during BlizzCon, so I was like, what would I want changed? And what do you guys think about Hunter's Mark? I think, like, right now it's totally pointless, and I would love to see it come as a cooldown.
Important.
I'm going to kill you, you know?
It was an important thing at one point, but now it's just, I mean, now it just goes up auto. I don't understand.
It's just a glyph slot. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. People just complain that it actually screws them up now that it does that.
Right.
Because there was the other aspect of the mark that gets screwed up if your target's constantly changing.
That's an interesting ability. I mean, anytime you have things that are automatically done that you don't have to think about, you sort of have to question whether or not they should exist the way they are or just be kind of built in some other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Let's keep moving here. We're getting towards the end of what we have for show notes.
Crypto's discussing over there. I pasted it in the chat notes.
Yeah. Vulture, I writes, I want to know, have any of the hosts been recognized outside of the game? I know Frost has a story where he was talking to his web service and they recognized him. We can let Frost tell that in a second. I don't have a story of being recognized outside of the game in real life, but I have a real fun story of a mix-up in-game. So I had been writing and doing the pet tanking stuff. For the WHU for a while, and this was back in Wrath. And we had this other hunter who came into the guild, and he was a really good hunter, knew his shit. And we would talk about the class all the time. And at one point, I mentioned that I did a lot of like soloing and pet tanking stuff. He said, "Oh, I got this website that you need to check out. It's all about like awesome pet tanking stuff." He's like, "It's the Warcraft Hunters Union." And I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is awesome. And so he's like, "Oh, yeah, they got this great guy that does all this pet tanking stuff." And I'm like, here it comes. I'm finally getting recognition in game. He's like, "The guy's name is Frostheim, and he does all these amazing pet tanking things." And I was like, "Motherfucker, no." So I said, "What was the name of the website again?" He said, "The Warcraft Hunters Union." I said, "Go on the website." I told him in-game. We were just in guild chat. I said, "Go on the website." He's like, "Okay." And I'm like, "What's the name of the guy who writes the pet tanking articles?" And he said, "Frostheim." And I said, "No. Check and go to one of the pet tanking articles. What's the name of the guy who writes the pet tanking articles?" And there was just this big silence. And like 2 minutes later, I see in guild chat, "No fucking way." But that was actually like one of the running jokes for me was that I'd write stuff on the WHU and people wouldn't realize that it wasn't Frost. They just assumed that it was him automatically. And so all kinds of people would respond to the tanking articles talking to Frostheim, like, "Oh, Frost, this is amazing, but what about this?" You know, and it took me so long to actually get people to realize that there was someone else writing for the WHU that wasn't him. And so this person in my freaking guild like didn't realize. He was like, "Oh yeah, Frostheim, he does all this amazing." I'm like, "No, damn it." So that was actually one of the funnier moments for me in game was this person recognizing me but not realizing that it was me and thinking it was Frost, because that was an ongoing struggle for me. So that was the closest I ever came to be recognized outside of the website.
Yeah, I have a couple times, but only it only happened in passing. I think the most recent, and I don't remember exactly how this went, but the most recent one was when I started this new job, which I moved to Boston for. So I moved to Boston to work at Wayfair, and you know, my boss, you know, the guy who hired me, you know, chats with me, and he sends out this email to a bunch of people, you know, within the marketing group, and like, oh, and Brian's taking over the SEO team, and here's some stuff about him, and oh yeah, and he World of Warcraft, and has an item named after him in game, and he's called Frostheim. And I get an email from this guy. He's like, oh my god, are you the Frostheim from Warcraft Hunters Union? He's like, yeah, that back in Wrath, that was my go-to site for hunter information. That would be awesome. And yeah, I'm talking to my boss. I'm like, oh yeah, somebody recognized me. He's like, who is it? I'm like, I don't know, it's this guy. Do you know who this is? He's like, yeah, that's the senior vice president of marketing. I was like, score! Actually, several other people at my job have, turns out, read Warcraft Hunters Union.
Wow. I don't think anyone at my job has ever played WoW or any game like it. Then again, there's only like 25 people there. So.
Yeah, well, clearly I work in the home goods industry now, so that's where all the WoW players are, I guess.
Yeah, I'm in the health industry. So it's a completely different market.
That's the wrong industry.
They're not tech people, not gamers.
Yeah, there's not a lot of zookeepers either.
Not many actresses here. Hmm.
I work in IT, so we've had several people that I work with who play World of Warcraft.
Absolutely.
Some of them I've gotten to play World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
I did, however, get ganked
by the WHU the other day when I was on my Horde Hunter, the one that's named Alisandre, and I was really distressed. It's like, I'm Alisandre, why are you attacking me?
I love that that's your defense. But I'm Alisandre.
It's also above my name. Yeah. Yeah, I was so surprised I didn't even, like, you know, do anything. I just let them kill me. It was just like,
Wow. How does that go?
Oh, I'm a terrible voice actress. I know it.
No, it was funny. I was trying to make everyone uncomfortable, make everyone drink more like me.
Speaking of which, I need to go get another one myself.
Actually, I do too. I've kind of depleted my two bottles here, so I think.
So
I
you
need...
were saying, let's see, I was trying to coordinate killing. Oh, yes, people are doing it. Fuck yeah. Everyone's like, oh no, and my man. Anyway, I was trying to coordinate people to kill goblins, so you were saying you got recognized in the game for something? At a barbecue? Is that what happens? Am I making things up?
Hello? Oh, okay, Jesus. My mic cut out again. Drink.
Hello?
Sorry.
Yeah, we lost Arth.
I'm back. Can you hear me again? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The next question is, so this is actually, we're sort of, so we had a roundtable discussion, but a lot of these questions are sort of dealing, we're covering them through these questions. The next question is, what's next for everyone, or what are the hosts planning on doing moving on? So one of the questions that we had in our roundtable discussion that we never really got to was, like, what are you up to currently, personally or professionally, that might be interesting to people. So, like, how are you moving on? So, anyone want to take that?
Sure. I'm doing the World of Warcraft documentary. It's the first Nerdist documentary with Legendary Pictures, and we talked about it last time. You guys,
yeah, this is the one we talked about in November some, right?
And yeah, if you guys want to check out episode 199, or no, whatever one it is. I don't know what it is, but whichever episode number it is, and we talk about it, but it's an awesome documentary. We're planning to go a lot of the film festivals. We've got even Warner Brothers is helping us out. They're doing all of our posts. It's just looking so awesome, and so many people, like, from Blizzard to just community members have written us and been a part of this, and it's been the coolest journey so far, and the woman that we're making the documentary about could not be more of a joy to work with. Just she has the Steve Jobs cancer, and she plays World of Warcraft therapy, so that is kind of the base of what the documentary is about, kind of following her storyline, and then we're developing from there and meeting other people. We have to produce 90 minutes of a documentary feature for Legendary and Nerdist, and then do 90 minutes for the YouTube station as well. We're going to have a Kickstarter coming up actually in a couple weeks with some really awesome prize packages. So to raise just some extra money for like the composer and a couple other extra things. So we have a very limited budget, and we're giving 5% back to cancer research for this very specific kind of cancer. So there's that going on, you know, related to World of Warcraft at least, very specifically that I can talk about. And also Heroes of Cosplay. I'm going to be on that show, so on cool. Sci-Fi.
Oh, very cool.
Not cosplay. Yeah.
Not cosplay. Cosplay is a little different.
Yeah.
So speaking of the round table, I think we should hit that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a quote.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I'll hit it hard. So we talked. We actually really early discussed one of them. Like, what blogger or resource? Do you enjoy that people might not know about? If anyone has anything to add to that, please do, or send it along to me so I can include it in the list for the final WHU article. But I think the two major ones are, like, what's your favorite in-game WoW moment, and what was your favorite WoW moment that happened in real life as a result of your connections in WoW? So I feel like everyone in this group has, you know, at least some cool answers for the first one, and probably for most of us some cool answers for that for the latter two as well.
And so there's complete silence.
I guess I'll start. Yeah, I guess I'll start. So my favorite in-game my favorite in-game moment. So I mentioned the one where the guy like mistook me for Frosthound. That was hilarious to me. Like I never cared too much about the marginal WoW fame that I got from writing for the WHU, but that was a hilarious moment for me. But the one so cool WHU events that we did and all the All Hunter raiding that I was able to lead, those were all amazing, but it probably not the most fun that I had because, like, I was really having to, there was some stress involved too because I was, like, leading or coordinating or, you know, doing the logistics. The funniest moment to me, like, I couldn't speak for a good 10 minutes. I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. It was the last WHU event. We were going to kill Garrosh, and we were hiding out. We were in, like, Durotar or something, in some random keep in Durotar, and we had just commandeered a room inside this castle. And there was, like, 300 of us just chilling in one room, and, you know, everyone was having fun. And there was some random-ass dude that wandered in who was, like, doing a quest line or something.
This was clearly, like, a newbie questionnaire for the Horde. Yeah. The guy was, like, level 8 or level 12 or something.
Yeah, and he walks into a room, and there's, like, 300 hunters. And none of us were, so it looked absolutely normal until you got to this one room in the keep, and then it was just all of us. And he ran in, and he just stopped. And you could see, like, the holy fuck, what's going on here? And he must have just, like, hit the back arrow, and you could see him just go out slowly. Just like, okay, I don't want anything to do with this. Like, I'm going to do a different quest chain. Holy crap. And I was watching that. I saw him run in. I, like, targeted him, and he was like, what's going on? And then just ran the fuck out. And I couldn't stop laughing because just imagining what was going through that guy's head as he ran in on us, like, I can't even fathom what could have been going through his head at that point. So that, to me, was one of the funniest moments in-game. And the other, Frost, you were a part of. It wasn't the All-Hunter raiding. It wasn't the event. It was fucking Nomergon.
Oh,
yeah. Nomergon. So everything that I've done in the game, I am not joking when I say that probably the hardest PvE experience of my WoW life.
Is that Yuri wandering by? I hear the train.
Yeah, there was a train.
I live near train tracks.
Drink. So, we were leveling up the WHU guild, and we would stop at various points. Frosthound would say, okay, we're going to stop at level 9, we're going to stop at level 19, whatever, and we kept going up towards endgame. And we were at level 19, and everyone in the guild, it was a very active guild at the time, would, like, take 5-man groups and clear dungeons. And they did a bunch of them, but we were just at the level, we were at the lowest level possible to have access to Nomergon, and nobody could even come close to clearing Nomergon. And so Frost and I were like, alright, I think this is what we need to do. We were level 19, and we took 5 of us, Bella, Hrist, you and me, and Alejandra, the other Ali, I think.
Yeah.
They used to be a hunter in the guild. Yeah. So there was five of us, and only three of us really had any huntering experience. The other two were good players, but, like, you know, their hunters weren't their mains. And I'm not joking when I say it's the hardest PvE experience of my life was trying to clear out Nomergon as five level 19 hunters. We spent like 3 hours in there, and we were dealing with like respawn timers, and there were mobs that would just wreck us. And so we had to do things like, okay, you go here and you go here. And we were like forming strategies where we'd ping pong using distracting shot. And there was one point at which, like, if we were going on the regular path, we would pull these mobs that would kill us. And so we had to jump up on, like, a railing and tiptoe our way along a wall so we wouldn't pull a particular mob that we couldn't down. And we cleared it, but it did. It took us, like, 3.5 hours. And it was just so much fun to be able to do that and try to use our toolbox.
Yeah, I remember, like, that ping-ponging strategy, that wasn't even for bosses. That was just, this mob is too tough for us to fight.
Right,
so
it wasn't bosses, it was mobs, right, exactly.
And so it was, like, literally, like, okay, here's the next one. Okay, we all shoot at it, you know, this person is going to get aggro, and, like, uh-oh, it's getting close to him. Now I distracting shot, so it runs toward me, and using concussive. I don't think we had feigned death yet at 19, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what tools we had in the toolbox, but it was as hard as I remember anything being in my WoW experience. And when we cleared it, it felt awesome. And the only people that really knew what kind of achievement it was were the other people that were doing the all-hunter five-mans at that level and knew how hard Nomergon was. So it wasn't something that we could brag to, like, a general WoW audience, because they'd be like, Nomergon? What the hell? That's, like, level 20 stuff, you know? But that, to me, was as fun as I've ever had in WoW, was doing that, just because of some of the interesting things that we had to do.
But I think one of the interesting things, and this was true for a lot of the early days of the WHU Guild before the level cap started getting really high, was it was kind of interesting to discover these, like, brand new challenges in WoW. It's like Nomergon was ridiculously hard and required this really creative thinking and this really, like, broad usage of the hunter toolbox, such as it was at level 19.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stuff was ridiculously difficult, and it's kind of interesting to think about all of these challenges that exist in the game, you know, that you just don't do if you're walking around at level 90 focusing on endgame. There's other stuff that you can make into a real big challenge.
Yep. I see that Michelle has to leave here pretty soon, so we should probably have her go next here.
We got a new guest here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We do, and I've got a hard stop here at 6 o'clock. But which is to say, if you guys want to carry on, I would. You know, we could
end the show, and then
you could fire it up for someone else. Can fire up a new hangout for a post show. But
actually, I need to go just about at 6 too.
All right, so let's 20 more minutes here, and let's bring on our new guest. So joining us from the Blizzard community team is none other than Krithu. See, I'm going to mispronounce. Our specialty is mispronouncing names, so if we've gotten that wrong, I apologize, but not really, because that's what we do. But welcome, and thank you for joining us on our final episode.
No, thank you. I appreciate being here. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine.
It is Krithu.
Krithu.
I just came up with it many years ago when we used to not be able to have a name that any player in game had, but we've changed that rule since then.
I can imagine how hard that might have been, actually, given the millions of players and characters in the game, that must have been a challenge to find a unique name like that.
yeah. I don't know. It's a really terrible name now.
You're the Perky Pog.
I am. Yeah, I am. I am the joy of all pugs alike.
Thank you for tweeting us out and to letting new people know, because we had some first time hunters here for our very final episode of what you guys have been doing. They've been doing this for 200 episodes, and we've got a few first timers. So thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. I think I love our community. I love things like this. You guys are so great. I just, the camaraderie and how tight everybody is, just, it's awesome. I feel really proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed this. I mean, like I said, I've been playing since vanilla, and you know, it's one of these things where I'm not happy with everything that goes on in the game, but at the same time, I'm still willing to shell out, you know, whatever the subscription fee is every month and continue to take my, you know, my hard-earned money and continue to play this game and enjoy it, and I still get tons and tons of entertainment for it. So even, you know, I guess what I'm saying is I really enjoy everything that you guys do, and you know, it's just one of these things I've gotten. I don't even want to look at my slash played because I'm sure it's ridiculously high. But I've just gotten many, many years of entertainment. And even sometimes we come on here and we criticize things here and there about the Hunter class. But at the end of the day, we still enjoy playing it and we continue to play it and appreciate everything that you guys do there.
Believe
it or Chad.
Not. Yes, dear.
Chad, how many of the other of all the other classes, the other support classes in WoW, you know, because hunters are the main, and then we've got all these support classes. Do you see any other camaraderie and tightness that you see in the hunter community as much as you do? I mean, is any of other of the communities, warlocks or druids or anything, do they group up like this in this measure?
Yes.
Really?
Wrong answer.
I will say that I know that the priest community is very rich. They've got several websites. They're a tight-knit group of people. The communities, somebody was asking me this earlier, communities actually a lot of times tend to centralize themselves in different areas. So a lot of times they're on the forums. I know the rogue community is really passionate. The warlock community is really passionate. But you guys are all centralized. You've got several websites and videos and do all kinds of stuff to come together and help each other. And it's awesome. I think it's great.
Do they have full-on class guilds?
Do they have songs?
Yes, I have heard. I've heard of their – I believe that there's an all-warlock guild somewhere.
Do they have 400 or 600 members?
have they killed current expansion bosses in all warlock guilds as we killed 7 in Cataclysm?
I don't know.
Sorry, we're very much putting you on the spot here, just in an attempt to make Hunter seem like
what
the best.
You're suggesting another class might have a fraction of the community of hunters? Nice.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I was really curious about, and this is something that always strikes me, particularly talking to a community manager. When you talk about like how passionate warlocks are, part of me wonders like how much of that is a polite way of saying they bitch a lot.
No, well, I wouldn't put it that way. I mean, everybody's okay. Passionate about their favorite class. You're going to be. I think that's a great thing. You should be passionate about it. And we actually embrace the criticism because a lot of times adjustments and may come from that. We'll also take it into consideration when we're looking at balance type stuff. I mean, I think it was one of our guys just said it on a forums the other day that constructive criticism is actually something we encourage. We want you guys to say, this isn't working, this is broken, but we also want you to say why.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Just to say, hey, this sucks isn't quite enough information, I would imagine, for you to actually make a calculated decision about what to change, that you need a little meat to that analysis there.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got Chad Nervig, who's Celestalon, is on Twitter now. And he's very open to taking feedback from people, so definitely look him up and follow him.
Yeah, he's kind of I don't want to call him the new ghost crawler, but he's kind of become the guy that everyone goes to with the Twitter questions and the public inquiries about the game.
And actually, it does seem like you know, in the wake of Greg in the wake of Ghost Crawler leaving, we're seeing a couple of other developers, you know, hopping on Twitter and becoming you know, a lot more involved.
Yeah, Celestalon's the one that we've covered a little bit more the last couple episodes that seem to step up. There might be others that I'm not aware of, but that's the big name that's jumped out to me.
No, Eon started.
Eon's on there, yeah. As well.
Okay, yeah.
The Watcher.
Yeah, Dev. Yeah, at Watcher Dev.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's like a lot of different devs and people involved with Blizzard on a professional level that are on Twitter. So there's a lot of conversations going on. But yeah, there hasn't been a central location necessarily, but there's been one or two that have jumped up as responding a lot more to the community.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the goal. We just, you know, we like being with you guys and talking with you. And BlizzCon is the one time every year that we really can immerse with our communities. And we every year we look forward to it when we have it.
Well, I think this podcast has been a bastion of sort of not apologist tendencies toward Blizzard, but we've definitely not been we've tried not to QQ, but say, okay, here's what we think, why Blizzard is doing these things, or here's the good mixed in with some of the things that we might not be as happy about. So we've tried to be careful about saying, well, they're not doing anything good for hunters, because that's usually not the case. You know, usually you guys are doing an amazing job taking in criticisms and keeping everything balanced and interesting for all the different classes.
Oh, so. No. Hunters are in a great place. I actually have to compete with two of them in my guild. They always
beat me. You're not a warlock.
They always beat me in DPS, but not by much. And sometimes
it's only when you get on a fucking cannon and you're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
That's the only time.
I have to use the cannon that's outside Orgrimmar to beat him. So.
And you bring up a good point too, which I think people sometimes lose sight of, is the fact that you guys there at Blizzard, I mean, you eat your own food, which is to say, you play the game just like we do, and so you understand it as well as we do, and you see, you know, our perspective isn't something that's so foreign to you guys necessarily, because you all enjoy the game that you make.
Yeah, I actually have one of every class. I have 6 level 90s, and I've been playing since open beta.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Can I, maybe it's understood from some of the other members here in the chat room or in the hangout, but what exactly is your role with Blizzard? What all do you do?
Well, I'm one of the community representatives. You guys know us as community managers. I do a lot of writing. I have my Major Pain blog I do every Friday, or I try to get it out every Friday. You know, it's just all kinds of things. I look for opportunities to do engagement. I help out with the Warcraft Twitter account and Facebook posts and things like
awesome.
That. Yeah, I try and chip in everywhere.
Great.
Are you going to do a Major Plane blog on synchronizing your hunter pets with your battle pets?
That I hadn't planned. It's an interesting concept. I don't know how I could get Major Pain to scream at people to do that.
But I always do it in my raids.
I'm a creative writer, so I should be able to come up with something.
I don't know how much that's a reference to the old movie Major Pain with one of the Wayans brothers, but that was actually a hilarious movie. I don't know how much you reference that or harken back to that.
Well, the story goes is that I had pitched the idea of doing a weekly blog about pets because I really like pet battles.
Yeah.
And I talked to the devs, and the main dev in charge of Pet Battles got back to me. He's like, you know what? You should write the blog as Major Pain, because everybody hates him. If you do your dailies, Major Pain's team is really difficult, and everybody was mad and screaming at us to nerf him because his team's rough. So I thought, okay, I'll make him the protagonist, and I'll just make everybody angry, and I'll scream at him like a drill sergeant, and it'll be fun. So there you have it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I see that Michelle has about 5 minutes left, so I want to give her a chance to add her final thoughts here, if she has any, about in-game experiences or things that you're doing that you want to draw attention to or anything else that you might want to say.
I mean, I think I covered that last part a little bit earlier. I mean,
okay.
You guys can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle Morrow. Michelle's with 1L. I just called myself Michelle,
yep.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, you can follow me there and stay up to date on what I'm doing now. But, like, in-game moments, I mean, I would really have to say I have a lot of in-game moments that have been fantastic, but one of my favorites really was doing the Warcraft Hunters Union Thunderbluff raid, and I've never seen anything like that in my life at that time. It was so funny, so much fun, and I was mesmerized by how you could coordinate that many people and had an entire sister guild that was the Warcraft Hunters Union Department of Transportation made up of mages and warlocks, so that was brilliant.
At its height, we were like, we were a well-oiled machine. There was, like, three different guilds that all complemented each other, and, yeah, it was pretty incredible.
I was actually blown away. I mean, just by your organizational skills and dedication to the class and wanting to do something creative all the time and, you know, the ogre suits, and there was so, and the shark, the whale shark, and there was just so many fun things like that. You know, in my own guild, we've gone through so many different transformations of it, and right now we've got such a strong, great guild. It's called Neverender. We're on Thorian Brotherhood. And we just have such a great time. A lot of real life friends are in there, and people I've known in game forever. It's just very, very cool. I'm really just excited for 2014 because everything's been looking so good. And yeah, I'm like out of life wow moments. I mean, I couldn't even tell you honestly. It's been a very surreal ride with Blizzard. And you know, I've met people like Chad has become one of my very, very close friends, and you know, getting like in the height of when my house flooded, and we had nowhere to live for, you know, 70 days, and we were in a hotel, and my cat, you know, was lead poisoned, and he's my baby, and you know, I had to watch him go through so many difficult things, and he lived through it, but it was such a hard time, and during that time, we had nowhere to live. You know, we get an email that says that suddenly we had this house in World of Warcraft on the Wandering Isle with me and my boyfriend and my two cats, and we had NPCs in-game. And that, during that time period, probably was the coolest thing that Warcraft has ever given, because it just felt like, even if I don't have an actual physical home and I'm living at a hotel, I know that I'll always have a home in World of Warcraft. So it was really cool, and I'm really happy about the people I've met. So, and you guys have been great, and you know, I think I drank Frost Under the Table this time.
No.
Just for one last drink for everybody. That's a drink for all y'all.
Drink.
thank you so much for including me in so much of what you guys have done, and reaching out to me, because I had a lot of fun with all of you guys.
Well, it's been our pleasure to have you on the show. I mean, you've been obviously one of our favorite people, and you know, I remember when we saw the WoW 15 minutes of fame and saw that you played a hunter, and we said, "Oh, we've got to get this woman on the show," and then it's just went from there, and it's just been a wonderful treat for us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm totally happy.
I'm sure it won't be the last time many of us talk to one another, and I hope that's not the case, but
yeah.
It's been so much fun, and you did a lot to help promote this final episode too, so we want to thank you, Michelle, for helping us out there, and you know, helping to get some people on the show. You know, we've had two guests today that wouldn't have been here if not for you, I think. So, you know, that's something too. So, yeah,
well, just, you know,
thank you so much for your passion and your work that you put into this to help make it awesome.
I mean, had I not been really included by WoW Insider, you know, so many years ago and invited on by you guys and been more prevalent in the WoW community, I wouldn't know these people. And my life wouldn't have, I mean, it may be, but the trajectory it's gone and the community I believe that I've made in World of Warcraft has helped my life and my career and where I'm going and everything. And I really do, honest to God, feel that way. And so I couldn't be happier. I used to always think like about my injury, and I've said it before, if I could take back one day, would it be the day that I broke my neck? And I always say now that it's not, because if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't know any of you. Yep. My boyfriend would have never come home with a copy of The Burning Crusade, and I would not have spent 257 days of my /played life on World of Warcraft.
Oh. 257? Really? Oh, man.
Well, some of that's me falling asleep in a neck brace. I mean, come on. I didn't have
like I've played
pretty sexy neck brace for 2 years.
I've played a lot, but that's higher than me.
Holy cow.
Yep.
Dude,
yep.
Michelle, we're almost /played siblings.
Really?
256.
Oh my God, we're like twins. We totally have to start our relationship podcast.
I know.
Okay, so this is gonna happen, you guys. Keep stay posted. We're gonna let you know how to tame.
Episode one, the final episode of the hunting relationship podcast.
Anyway, you guys, I love you all so much, and I'll see you on the tweet.
Yeah.
All righty. Absolutely. Cheers.
Take care, Michelle. Thanks, guys. Later.
Is this a good time to say that I actually have 550 slash played?
Wow. that's fine.
I think Roger Brown is Michelle and I's dad.
Yeah. Wow. Mine's pretty high,
but I don't remember the number.
Yeah, does anyone have that beat? I'm in game, and like I'm a little ashamed at how low mine is compared to you guys.
Well, where do you find
it? Add all mine together.
You just go on your main and you hit slash played.
Yep.
PLAYED. Just type it. And it'll tell you how long you've played.
It's probably the single worst feature in the game.
Yeah. It's so demoralizing when you realize like how many days of your life you've sacrificed.
One and a half year in this game. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I remember when I was like leveling, which back in vanilla actually took a long time. I remember at one point somebody told me about slash play and I'm like, oh, I looked at it and I was just like, oh god.
No wait.
Oh god.
Does it include alts? Because like
no.
Like Synth just said that he's an altaholic, but he's at 220 days. Okay, total. But that's between all the alts.
The mod, it'll track it all together and give you a total.
Of course, there's a mod for that.
My ex-husband every year at the year anniversary of the game would have me log into all my characters and give him the numbers and he'd total them up.
Oh, see, that's terrible. So
that
you said
one reason why he's my ex.
You said ex-husband though, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I only have one other alt of note, but I'm only at 125 days. I feel like a fucking noob compared to you guys.
I haven't looked. I know I'm closing in on a year if I haven't surpassed that already.
I'd check it now, but there's probably a queue on my server.
I've got 32 days, but that's only because I made this alt for the Warcraft Hunters Union.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Frost, you owe me a month of my life.
God. That's so funny.
I don't know how to pay that. I think we should do the outro.
Yeah, I'm at the end of my time here, unfortunately, guys.
Yeah, let's do the outro, and then if we feel
like
doing...
I have one question for you guys, because it's old school.
Hey.
You probably remember this question, because it was the question we always got, Frost. What is the number for the armor pen that we need?
Oh my god! Right. It's not how much armor pen you need, right? Except it's the point, the amount of armor pen you have, at which point it's worth stacking armor pen over everything else. I have no recollection.
It's a Hunter song that we play every episode twice.
What was that?
It's in the Hunter song that we play twice.
No, it's not.
We have the hit cap in there. I like that. That's the one thing that definitely feels outdated is the hit cap at 263. But
yeah.
Right.
that's the I Won't Miss You song that has the hit cap.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. So okay.
Which is funny because I made that song when Cataclysm was in beta too. God, stuff gets outdated so fast. But yeah, so I think we should do the outro. We should reform the hangout, and we should do a brief post show, which I can probably hang out for like another half hour for the post show.
Yeah, that sounds good.
There's one thing I wanted to say real quick, just for the hunters out there. I just wanted to tell people who play around with logs, they should check out Warcraft Logs. It's really cool, and if you turn on advanced combat logging, you can actually replay the entire combat in.
Oh yeah, the movement, yeah.
It is really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Wow. Okay.
I wish I had that back when I was.
Send me the details about that so I can post it on the WHU.
Awesome.
But with that, you have been listening to the 4 hour long episode 200 of the Hunting Party podcast. My name is Mark, better known as Arth, from the Warcraft Hunters Union.
And I am Dark Brew from thebrewhall.com and The Brew Hall on Twitter.
And my name is Phaedra, and I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party podcast.
Z, this is your line.
Oh, sorry. I'm not even in the right place on the thing.
You just have to say your name.
From femaledwarf.com.
And... joining us earlier was Euripides from OutDPS, formerly of OutDPS.com.
And this is Frostheim, formerly of WarcraftHuntersUnion.com, and still available at FrostheimWHU on Twitter.
That's right. And joining us earlier was Big Red Kitty from Parts Unknown and Michelle Morrow from various places that we listed earlier. Who else do we have still with us?
And Roger.
Yep.
Yeah, we
and yeah, special.
Yeah. And Banya, so special thanks, yeah, all of our guests. Special thanks to Krithu from Blizzard, the community team, for joining us at the last minute here. Really appreciate that. And if it weren't for this wonderful game you guys produced, we would have no reason for living.
Yep. And, you know, Roger Brown from the Guild Method, you can find him. We'll have details on the WHU this week about how you can follow him and Method's exploits. We've got Synth Paradox here, who has helped us out a bunch and has continued to help us out this show as well. And, of course, Banya from name the website one more time, Banya.
Wild Biology 101.
Wild Biology 101. Oh, okay. I think that's everyone.
Yeah, you can still check us out on iTunes briefly, and of course YouTube forever, and Stitcher, and add our RSS feed to your reader. Of course, we'll have these links available in our final set of show notes.
And if you like us, please don't be shy about leaving us a review on iTunes, especially one where you say how much you miss us and our presence in your lives.
Yes.
Yeah, I already miss you guys. My line is something that's really kind of not relevant anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll just steal Dark Brew's line and say, stay thirsty, my friends, and remember to thank your Dark Brew blogger.
And I will steal that right back because it's my last chance I'll ever get to say this. Stay thirsty, my friends, and remember to drink your Dark Brew lager.
Oh,
The Horde.
For the Horde, Logtar Ogar, nerf warlocks, nerf rogues, nerf mages who have killed me in the past on the meters at certain times. Nerf Canada, but not too hard because I like our friend Euripides up there. And it's been wonderful, guys.
And for the final time, don't forget to pay your dues.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. This has been a real treat and a real pleasure. I've enjoyed this last 4.5 years and look forward to continuing to play World of Warcraft and blogging. But this I will miss, but I think the timing is right here to call it a show.
Yeah, I deliberated for a long time. I wanted to stick with it. There's a lot that I want to do, but my life is just taking me in different directions, and I just don't have time to play WoW like I once did.
Yes.
Which means that I don't have the depth of opinion that I would need to continue to do the podcast. So yeah, it was the right time for me. It's been wonderful to be a part of this. So,
all right. Well, why don't we quick close this out? We'll
yep.
Arth, you're going to reform the Hangout, right?
Okay, I got to log in as Hunting Party Podcast, right?
Yep. Yes, you do. So I'm going to go ahead and do this one. Okay. And thanks to everyone who's come in
Everybody listening live, we should be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll be back in a few minutes. Give me a little bit to set everything up and invite everyone, but we'll get this back up. We'll do another post show, maybe a half hour or so. And anyone that wants to be involved that's in the Hangout right now, you're certainly welcome back. So just give me a little bit to do that. But thank you again, and we'll be back.
This is the first episode of The Hunting Party. My name is Euripides from the OutDPS.com blog, and this is...
I am Dark Brew from The Brew Hall, and you can reach me at thebrewhall.blogspot.com.
Cool. So this is our very first show, and we've got quite a show lined up so far, because there's a lot going on these days. Let's get started. In my traps, I never miss.
Now let's begin with Illidan, Osirian, and Kil'jaeden, Magdemar, Ascalor, Gruul, C'Thun, and Razorgore. Onyxia to Ragnaros, which one have we killed the most? Kel'Thuzad to Malygos, we even killed Akama's ghost. Sapuron, Lucifon, Sulfuron, Archelon, Amelon, Corellon, Algalon, faction champions, the death toll rolling on and on, Garth, Vale, Executus,